Me alegra verte. Happy to see you. Let me tell you that before going on this mission trip, especially, and others, let's just say I was a little nervous, and in fact, if it weren't for the kids that were committed to go, I may have tried to find an excuse to back out, but my wife would have never allowed such a thing. So here I was, and a song by Audrey Assad really put it really well. This is me before the trip and sometimes after, or maybe you've been there. From the need to be understood and from a need to be accepted, from a fear of being lonely, deliver me, O God. From the fear of serving others and the fear of death or trial, from the fear of humility, deliver me, O God. And I shall not want, when I taste your goodness, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. So last week, Ken McFarland and our own Trent Thompson here stood before you and told about China Now. But Trent brought something to mind, and it's you all and how precious you all are. He brought to mind how precious it is that we have the Word of God and we get to read it. He also brought how precious it is for us to meet together without harm. And he mentioned how precious it is for us to share the Word of God. Have that opportunity there. Have that opportunity now. I'm a representative of the craft, skit, and activity group with the kids who went to El Salvador. And this verse here, I think, typifies
this is Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
So this is a synopsis of what we did when we were there. Just to give you an example of one day, on July 18th, from 9 a.m., and we needed to be there as early as we can to set up, we did kind of a skit activity. We did vacation Bible school, so to speak, with public schools. And we had this opportunity. It's wonderful. A public school allowed us to come in and share a story about Jesus. There were several different ones, and we may come to us, ask us about our experience, and we'll tell you. And then we would door knock later, have a gospel meeting that night, and have our own little VBS with the kids who were there at night. And we did that several days. For any of you who were there in El Salvador, if you could please stand where you are. And I just briefly want to thank each one of you for your involvement, especially and selfishly when you were involved with the activities, because that was one of the things I got to be involved in. And for those like Rodney Keaton, for Hans and Michael Nance and Rose Kuhn and Caleb Arnold with basketball and with baseball, we had the married couple, Camilo, Beatrice, Fernando, Amy Nance. In football, Fernando Jr. and William Ashburn, Johnny Kuhn. And we did parachute activity, Rose Kuhn, Benjamin Nance. And Johnny helped there too. Snacks and crafts, Sabrina, Marlene, Chris, Laura Grace, Catherine Ashburn, Carrie Arnold, Julie Meyer, and others. And I forgive me if I failed to mention you. But for your help, thank you. We had the preachers, Hector and Oswaldo, Luis, Werner, Jeremy, Noe, and others who were preaching the gospel to whomever showed. And we really appreciated that. For the translators with door knocking, Hector, Luis, Adriana, Lisette, Julio, and especially for the little ones who played with us in the off times, for Gabby and Amelia and Herson, we love him, Alison, Evelyn, and others, and of course, brother Brandon as well. So we thank each and every one. We have believers all over the world, do we not? So, of course, there was, the efforts of door knocking, people showed up. I'm not a fan of door knocking, by the way. And yet, there was a baptism because of it. And so, Hebrews 11, 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So, Trent said this before. Think about the people in your life. Reach out to the people in your life and pray for them. We have folks here, China, El Salvador, Fiji, Russia, Guyana, and the list goes on. Great crowd of witnesses. As Johnny Kuhn so appropriately said, we have had the calling. The feeling to go and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus to others. That feeling can hold you back. Don't wait for the feeling. Put down the distractions, get out of your comfort zone, show your love, and share Jesus to everyone around you.
All right, this is Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 16. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
So once again, those of you in El Salvador, stand. And then I need those who have somebody in your life, and if you are able, that you think needs to know more about Jesus, and that can come from you, why don't you go ahead and stand as well? Anyone here want to join us in sharing Jesus with either your neighbor or someone you know? And look around.
Thanks, John. Tough to follow. So while a larger portion of the crew went to Ciudad Real and to a town called El Tesoro, the treasure, and were planting the church, helping Warner with that, a smaller group of us went up to Waiua and stayed with the Simmons, and were working with the church there, to the Waiua and Salcotitan. So it's fun to say these names. They're a lot of fun to... There's one in particular that we didn't get to go to, Santa Catarina Mathawat, and I had to say it because it's just a fun thing to say. We originally planned to do ESL at the church in Waiua as an outreach. The pictures that roll behind us, I'm not sure what all is showing. I think they've actually switched around to now they're showing some from Salcotitan. They're just here for your amusement or your enjoyment. The ESL... As you plan for trips, you find that you really need to be flexible. And if you are not flexible, I would suggest probably not go on one of these mission trips. If you cannot flex, don't go. If you can flex, it's a great experience. So the ESL did not happen the way we thought. Turned out they revised the plan for us as just the week before we got there. They had on Tuesday and Thursdays, we set up and went out in the mornings to go visit people in the communities and more rural areas and invite them to a ladies' event. And on Wednesday and Friday, they held these ladies' events, which we set up a canopy, and there might be pictures of that going on. So they invited folks on the Tuesday, Thursday. It was a children's and ladies' more invitation because it's the middle of the workday. And then the Wednesday and Friday, they held those events, had large crowds show up late. They're very much non-punctual. That's just the way that works, so you just get used to that. So they showed up, we held the event, and result of those events plus the Saturday's ladies event was that they have 11 new studies set up for Charlotte and Wayne out of those, so, just those three events, which is an amazing amount of work for them. In the afternoons, the ESL was planned, and so they dropped back to being more ESL with members from the church who were interested, had enough English that actually wanted to learn. So that happened in the afternoons. Part of the time, other part of the time, Mr. Norville and myself would go with Cesar and Carlos, two of the local preachers there, to visit members and spend time in their homes, just encouraging them and praying with them. And sometimes they'd ask, why are you here? And we're like, well, we came to visit you. That's why we came from the U.S., to visit you and to encourage you and to pray with you. And so we'd ask, what can we pray about? What can we share with them? And what do they need to know? What do they need to hear? What do they need? And we would share with them and pray with them and just had a really great time. The evenings, all the four evenings, the weekday evenings, Jim, we had a class that Jim led on holiness and how to live and how to come to holy living and how this is supposed to look in a Christian's lives. And so it was an encouraging time. It was really good. And the entire church showed up, and it was big crowds would be there in the evenings. On Saturdays, we had an event that was a ladies' event in the morning and a children's event. And about that time, the team from Ciudad Real showed up in the afternoon, and they had a big teen event. It was large, and then we had a big dinner together, so the whole team got together that one evening and had a good time together. That Sunday, we separated back. They went back to the valley. We stayed in the mountains. We got the better end of that deal because the temperature in the mountains is a good 5-10 degrees cooler than it is down the valley. So it was nice and comfortable where we were. But we got to spend time with the churches in Sacuatitan and YU had a combined Sunday gathering and then a dinner together. And it was really, really encouraging, really good time. The total of the results of this was to encourage. So I got to go walks in the morning with Dwayne when he'd walk his dog. So he and I'd go together. And then I got to spend time with Cesar and Carlos and Jim spent time with many of the people that he's known. The whole idea is just let them know you're not alone. We are praying for you. We love you. And so I'd like to close this by just having a prayer for the churches there. So if you bow with me. Lord, you are so good to us. You've been so gracious to us to give us life where we had none, hope where we had none, and purpose and meaning where there was none. And now we have all these things because of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be part of your kingdom, to share in El Salvador, to share here. And Lord, I pray that as this report goes out today, that this not encourages us to think we need to go foreign countries. Lord, we do, but we need to do it here as well. We need to realize our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our schoolmates, the people we see and come in contact with each and every day need Jesus. Lord, fill us with that burning desire to share the good news that we have. Lord, help us to have that burning desire to know the good news we have and to live it each and every day. Lord, for the churches in El Salvador, for the ministry there, for the Simmons particularly, for Werner, for the just all the brothers and sisters there, Lord, I pray your blessing on them. Lord, guide them, keep them safe, but more importantly, give them boldness to speak your word. Lord, I pray that Jesus' name is held high there and here. Thank you so much for your love, your mercy and grace to us. All this we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Check.
Hello? Is it on?
No?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, I want to get started today by reading a short verse out of Philippians, Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being in spirit and of one mind. So, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Philip Lowry, and I grew up here in Huntsville. I am one of Central's missionaries in Russia, and I'm the only one from the United States. It's worth mentioning that we also have two other missionaries that are supported by this church, Vasya and Timur. I was about to say they are from Russia, but if I remember correctly, neither one is actually from Russia. They're from the former Soviet states, so they were from states that speak Russian. Anyway, I also wanted to really quickly tell you what kind of church they have in Russia as opposed to what we have here. We have one large building which we are allowed to meet in, and it's big enough for all of us. But in Russia, in the church we interact with, we have what are called house churches. They're very small, between 5 and 15 people, and they meet in an apartment. And we have about 11 different house churches that meet all across the city. And this is because we don't have a building big enough to support our church. Now, I don't want you to think that because we meet in such little pockets that we become cliquish or we don't interact with the others. Once a month, at least, we have a general meeting, which is when we rent out a dance hall and all the house churches come together for one Sunday. And it's got extra rooms for the kids to run around and cause chaos upstairs, and for the adults to stay downstairs, and we eat a meal, and everybody shares together. And it's a big deal. We plan general meetings 3 months in advance. The brothers get together, and they're like, all right, what are we going to do at general meeting? And I'm like, wow, we're cutting it kind of close. And they're like, no, we're talking about 2 or 3 months down the line. So that's how church kind of happens in Tomsk. I should mention that I do ministry in Tomsk. Does anybody who hasn't been to Tomsk know where Tomsk is? Anybody? Yeah. All right. So Tomsk is in the middle of Siberia, which means it is very, very far away from places like Moscow or St. Petersburg. But it's not a small town. It's a relatively big town, and it has within it 6 universities. So during the school year, the population skyrockets as students come from all over Siberia, all over Russia, and from really far away. We've had people from Zimbabwe and London. We always have some people from Germany. We have lots of people from Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, places like that, which are a little bit closer. But we always have students come from other places, and so when it's the school year, the city grows, and when it's the summer, it seems almost desolate in its emptiness. Everybody goes home, and that's one of the struggles that I have teaching in Tomsk. The fact is that a lot of the people that you see, that you minister to, and that you bring to house church, and you talk to, and you invest your time in, at the end of the season, they'll go home. And a lot of times, they won't come back. They'll go home and you won't see them again. And when I first started doing ministry in Tomsk, this was a big letdown for me. It felt like I was almost wasting my time because I would be preaching or teaching to this individual student and studying with them, and then they would go away, and I'd never see them again. There was one time which really made me sad in the moment. where I was teaching and preaching to this one guy for a good year, and at the end of the year, he wanted to be baptized. And we baptized him, and as we were talking about, you know, congratulations, welcome to the body of Christ, he's like, yeah, and this is also good because I just got a job, but it's in another city, so I'll be leaving tonight. And I have never been in the same room with that guy again. He went away, and though we do communicate through social media and stuff, I'll probably never bump into him again because Siberia is a big place and he's far away. So that's house church. Oh, now we come to the most dreaded part of any sermon, audience participation. So a lot of you have asked me, do I speak Russian? And the answer is, meh, kind of. I have been there for 3 years now, plus a internship that I went on to see if I wanted to teach there, and my Russian should definitely be better than it is, I'm sorry to say. So just to give you guys a taste of what Russian is like, I'm going to give you guys a very short, tiny, tiny little Russian lesson. Is that okay? Is everybody ready for that? So, does everybody know what yes is in Russian? Da, there you go. You already know that one. How about no? Nyet. Perfect. You guys are almost fluent. Does anybody know thank you? Spasiba. Spasiba. Can you guys say that? Nice. Does anyone know what hello is? Hello? Zdravstvuyte. Zdravstvuyte. Nice. Now, zdravstvuyte is hard to say, and I often, even though I've been there for 3 years, will forget how to say it. So, I will often say instead, dobre utro, which means good morning, and is easier for me to remember personally. So, dobre utro. Can you guys say that? Yes. All right. So, that's the end of our Russian lesson. Congratulations. You're doing pretty well. You're learning much faster than I did when I first got to Russia. I want Ed to show you guys a video. It's going to show a series of events that occurred this year in Russia. Now, I want to warn you, there's no audio to it. So don't, as it plays, don't try to flag down Ed and tell him there's no audio. There's not supposed to be. But in no particular order, they are the youth retreat, the women's retreat, children's ministry, the youth church, moving into the new building, and a sort of very short-term mission trip to a local town named Sharipovo, where there's an orphanage. All right. So, while that plays, I'm going to continue to talk. Last fall, some of you might have heard my previous report, and you might have heard that this coming year, or now this previous year, was going to be very challenging for a number of reasons. One of which was that the government was cracking down on foreign missionaries, and that if I were to be accused of teaching people in my own home, that I could be deported or I could be penalized in some way. And this was very concerning. Now, I wasn't worried about being thrown in prison or anything, but being deported would be terrible for me because I've learned to love and know the people there in Tomsk. Another thing that I was concerned with is that a person that I had previously taught with, who had taken half of the English lessons that I was teaching, was not going to return. Now, this is because someone in her family was very sick and would, in the ensuing year, wind up passing away. But this year, that person has planned on returning. So once again, I will have someone helping me teach. All right. Another issue that we had at the beginning of this year, which was not one, I wouldn't say it was a bad thing to happen, but we did not have enough space for English Club. We had one large room that we would rent once a week, and normally we have between 25 and 30 people. That's a pretty big group for us. When we came back this past year, for the first couple of months, we had a solid 40 people coming to English Club, and we filled out the room. There were no more chairs. People were sitting in windows, which is dangerous because I'm pretty boring and they might fall out if they fall asleep. And another thing was that the room we rented was not always available. Sometimes it was rented by other people, or it would be, we wouldn't have the key. And over the course of the year, it was going to be sold, so we would not have it anymore. Now, English Club is a huge part of my ministry personally, so it was a good thing we came up with an alternative. You'll see it up there a little bit later, but we have a building now, which is a boon in so many ways. For starters, my initial concern that I would be arrested or deported for teaching in my own home, as long as I teach in the new building we have, it's perfectly legal, and nothing can go wrong. I can't be arrested for teaching Bible lessons in the building. It also has multiple large rooms that can easily house English Club, and we never have to worry about it being unavailable since it's our building. Another thing is that previously, our youth group, our teenagers, had no place to go. They would go to Aliona and Yura's apartment, but it was not near big enough to contain the chaos that was our teenagers. But now they have their own room where they can leave their board games and their video games, where they can hang out on couches and various other things. And it's perfect. And this is something I was not even anticipating when we got the new building, but we have English Club right next to where the teenagers meet. English Club is usually, it's not necessarily about spiritual matters. We talk about things like, you know, words to use at the airport or different types of fruit, things like that. And then we always advertise at the end, if you would like to continue to study English, we have English House Church tomorrow at Phil's house, and they can come if they want to. But now that we're right next to the youth group who are doing spiritual things in the teen room, sometimes they ask, hey, what's going on over there? They're playing games in there. Can I go in there too? And I'm like, well, you can ask. And you can go in there if you want to. And it gets them that much closer to people who are in our church. It gets them that much closer to understanding that spiritual things can be interesting, that the people in church aren't all droll. You see, in Russia, the orthodoxy is a little bit dry. It's got a lot of gigantic cathedrals, but it's all very solemn and very quiet. And they don't play a lot of games. They don't sing boisterously. They don't do things like that. And so people in Russia have this mindset that that's what church is like. It's sort of slow and boring. And so it's good for them to see our youth enjoying themselves. I wanted to tell you guys about a few people who I work with in Russia. First of all, I want to tell you about a girl named Jenny and a man named Emil. Now, they're married, and Jenny is from America. She came from Colorado, I want to say 7 years ago, but don't hold me to that, and met Emil, who himself was from Kazakhstan. So both of them were coming to a country that is not their native land, that they have no family in. They met each other, fell in love, and got married. And let me tell you, it's difficult to be far away from your family. I'm facing that a little bit now, but every single summer, I come back to renew my visa. So I always have an opportunity to see you guys, to see my family, to talk to you often. But they have decided they're going to stay in Russia, maybe forever. I don't know what their future plans are, but they've been there a long time, and it's hard to be away from your family. And it was equally hard for Emil to become a Christian because in Kazakhstan, his parents disapprove heavily to him becoming a Christian of any sort of Protestant faith. And when I disagree with someone, it's very difficult for me to be around them. I would want to be as far away from people who disagree with me as possible. And that would be very, very easy for him to do because his family lives several thousand miles away. So it would be easy to avoid them. But instead, they've traveled down there all the time. Well, not all the time, but they've traveled down there. And sometimes his parents travel up to stay with them. They continue to invite them and welcome them into their home, even though at one point his mother was writing letters to Putin that our church should be looked into because it was an American conspiracy or something of that nature. And they still welcome her and his father into their home. They still travel out to see them, packing up their two kids and traveling for what seems like days down to Kazakhstan to see his mother. And I wanted to just bring to the forefront how it's a lot harder for some people to become Christians because of what surrounds them. Here in America, even in places where Christianity isn't strong, it's still around. If we went to a city that didn't have that many Christians, you could still pretty easily find a church. You could look online, oh, there's a local church over here or over there. In a place like Huntsville, you can find a church on every street corner. It's all over the place. But in places like Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan, you might not find it anywhere. We have had students who have come to us and have come to our church and said, I really like what you're saying, but if I were to become a Christian and go home, my parents might kill me, and they're not exaggerating. The consequences are dire for some of these people, and though some students are shy away from that challenge, some of them rise to the challenge, and they become Christians regardless of the danger. I also wanted to tell you about a couple of people named Yura and Alona. In previous years, I've talked about them because they're working with the teenagers. Oh, that's actually going on right now. That is their apartment, filled with teenagers. And they have taken on the responsibility of taking care of the teenagers. And in previous years, they were in charge, well, not in charge of, but heavily involved in the orphan ministry. There's an orphanage in Tomsk that we would regularly go to all the time. And Aliona and Yura opened up their home to the older orphans, those who are 16 and above, so that they could come and have a place to go that wasn't a bar or a nightclub or something like that. And the first couple of years, almost every time I went to their house, there was some kid hanging around in some corner. Sometimes it was filled with kids who were all goofing off, playing games, things like that. There you go. But recently, this is a challenge we've been facing lately, there is a ban on churches going to orphanages. We are no longer allowed on the grounds. We can't send people there. To be fair, it was always pretty illegal for me to go there, being a foreigner. Since no Americans are allowed to adopt orphans, then there is absolutely no way I should have been there, even though I did go there occasionally. Shh, don't tell anybody. But, there you go. But Yura and Aliona had thrown their doors open to teenagers and to orphanage kids as much as possible, as much as they want. They're a shoulder to cry on. They're someone to laugh with or interact with. They're someone to study with. And a couple of years ago, Alona decided that she did not have enough time to work with the orphanages and the youth and do her job as a chemical engineer. So she quit. She quit her job working for a university and decided to devote all her time to ministry. And last year, they faced an especially difficult trial. They had a failed pregnancy that really shook their whole world for a while. And I asked you guys to pray for them, and people there surrounded them and came together to support them and be there for them. And I've just learned, just this past week, a few days ago, Alona gave birth to a healthy baby girl named Eve. So, that's great. Yeah. Woo! There you go. So, prayers are answered. I wanted to tell you, I'm running out of time. I'm going to tell you real quick about one last couple. Robert and Camilla. Robert was from Germany, and Camilla is from Kazakhstan. I know what it sounds like. It sounds like we have absolutely no Russians anywhere in Tomsk. We just have foreigners. But Robert came to English Club and met our church almost as soon as he arrived, and through strange sort of means. If I recall correctly, he was either talking to someone or talking on the phone about how he needed to find a church, and he was waiting like at a bus stop or something, and a girl that goes to our church, Yulia, was standing next to him and was like, I know where you could go. And he was brought to English Club and got immediately involved. As soon as he saw what we were doing, saw who we were and what we were about, he decided he was going to lead some lessons, and he was going to teach some grammar, and he was going to play the games and make up new games for us to play at English Club and attend church. And he eventually brought Camilla, who was sort of his go-between, because he didn't speak much Russian. She would take him places and show him where the shops and things like that. And he brought her to English Club, and she started playing the games and doing presentations and getting super involved. And eventually, they would get engaged and are now married and living in Germany. So I just want to show how English Club and our church and our ministry is bringing people together, and it's changing people's lives. And just this past summer, Camilla and Robert raised funds for a long time before going on their own mission trip to Moldova and to work with some kids there, to minister, to teach English, to do all sorts of things. And it was an exciting time for them. So not only is our ministry and our mission teaching people about Christ, but it's teaching them to teach people about Christ and on down the line. It's very inspiring. And it doesn't stop with them. Camilla and Robert are wonderful people, but they are by no means unique in people jumping into English Club. We have a young lady right now who just met us sometime in December and now has taught various lessons at English Club. She has played games and run games. She has joined the church choir. She is super duper involved. And this is kind of normal. This is what we see every year. And it's so sad. It's so moving in the spring when people start to leave. But we know that even though we might not see the fruits of our labor, they are going somewhere, and they're going to minister to people. They will continue on like we have done. Oh boy, I'm running out of time. Space. Okay, the building. We have a building. I already kind of touched on this, but I had no idea what a huge boon it would be to have a building. Because with this building, we finally have a place for our elementary students to go. We have, to make the understatement of the year, a lot of kids in our church. People have 5 kids and 3 kids and just huge groups of kids, and they needed a place to go. Previously, in a lot of house churches, they would just stay with the parents, which means as you were in a small apartment with about 15 adults and between 3 and like 8 kids running around screaming in the room. Now, we had a place, a small apartment, where we would send the kids for a while, but they wouldn't stay there for very long, and you have to go and pick them up, and it's a whole ordeal. And all the different ages, from the littlest kid to just before a teenager, were all in the same place. And it was very hard to separate them and keep them from running into each other, and, oh, he touched me, and he stole my pencil, and all the stuff. But now, with the new building, we have rooms to separate, and we have kids who are more involved and slightly more focused than they were before. And it's a great thing. Anyway, let's see. I already talked about English Club is going great. I guess that's all the ministry stuff I wanted to talk about. But I wanted to talk about how they know about you guys. And a lot of you know about them. They are always praying for you. And they need your prayers desperately in Tomsk. The ministry is going great. We have seen new faces. We've seen a lot of baptisms. We had our first sort of inter-city youth retreat. It was like a teeny tiny little Impact, if you guys know what Impact is. And we had students from other cities come in, and we rented a big building. And we had at least, I want to say, two boys baptized from Tomsk. Boys who I had seen grow up from like 14 to 17. And they finally got baptized. It was so exciting. Anyway, I'm over time. So, let me just end by saying the ministry in Tomsk is going great. Things started off a little rocky this year, but by the end of the year, there's just no comparing how wonderful things became. And we need your prayers, so keep praying for us. And talk to us often. If you want to email me, I'll give you my email address. If you want to talk to people there, they are more than content to Skype with you. Most of the people in the church speak pretty good to excellent English. So if you want to interact with some people there, they would love it. So if anybody needs to come forward, the elders will be up here.